Morning, brother. Good morning to the brother on the web hookup. I'm sure most of us have seen those wonderful contests or giveaways on Facebook. Some people even enter those contests to win a dream job. That's a true story. Back in 2009, there was a contest called The Best Job in the World. It was created by an ad company promoting tourism in Queensland, Australia. Well, what was the job, you might ask? It was an island caretaker. Job on an island in the Great Barrier Reef. What did the job consist of? Well, the duties were collecting the mail every day, getting a tan, going sailing, and taking a video of yourself going snorkeling while working and getting paid of a salary of $150,000 a year. Well, that's not too shabby, huh, brethren, to get paid while living on an island. Well, what if today someone was to offer you a job of a lifetime? Would you consider taking it? What if the job was to be a shepherd for the rest of your life? Would you be interested in even applying for it? Would it matter what on earth the shepherd's job was? When you think about the life of a shepherd, it sounds like a great relaxing job, doesn't it? You get to spend your days with those cute sheep, enjoying God's beautiful landscape. Think of it, eating your lunch underneath a shady tree with your dog as your companion and a shepherd's staff. Who wouldn't love that job? No matter what the weather conditions were, huh? Well, there might be just one situation there. You got to be out there constantly when it's cold, when it's raining. That's your job. And you'll need a really good pair of walking shoes. Because you're going to put on a lot of miles on your feet, brother. You'll need to keep up with the sheep, moving them as they graze in the valley, up on the trails and the mountainsides. A good shepherd keeps the sheep moving and grazing in different spots, so they don't eat up and trample all the vegetation in one area. Think about it. Sheep are very nervous and skittish animals. You'll need to be on your toes every minute of the day so none of them get scared and run off and take others with them. Sheep drink a lot of water. They like to drink from cool, clean water. And they're frightened to death by swift-moving water. Brethren, let's make sure you all got to get them safely tucked in their pen at night before the sun goes down. And you got to get up really early in the morning before the sheep wake up. Once again, you got to take them out and find food and water for them. Same thing, brethren, every day. Now, who wants to apply for this dream job? Any takers? Sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it, brethren? Day after day, doing the same thing over and over again. Taking not into consideration all the accidents and the diseases they have to take care of, and constantly being on the lookout for predators. Well, brethren, thinking about that, it's interesting about all the hard work involved in taking care of the sheep. But in the Bible, our Bible calls us sheep. And Jesus Christ is called our Good Shepherd. We need to be cared for, each one of us, and led each day also, don't we? We desperately need a shepherd. Although we cannot pay him for what he really is worth, Brethren, Jesus Christ came to this earth to be our shepherd and the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice to reconcile all human beings back to God the Father. The scriptures talk about Jesus Christ being the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God. Different places in his life, they talk about it separately and then becoming one in other places. At Christ's last Passover with his disciples, he began washing their feet and then offering them the unleavened bread and the wine. Because Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of this world, tells us that he will pay the penalty for humanity's sins by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, the wine represents his blood that was shed for the sins of all mankind. By understanding and accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice and repentance and faith, we can be assured that our sins are blotted out, brethren. We can go forward in our Christian lives with confidence, knowing that through that sacrifice, we can be reconciled to God and with Jesus Christ as our good shepherd to lead us. And while God has not removed all sins from our lives today, nor has he removed all the sins from the world yet, we know one day very soon this is going to happen. This is why, for now, we need Jesus Christ as the good shepherd of his church to lead us and guide us. Everyone likes titles. My title is, Are You Ready to Be a Shepherd? Come with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. I'll read some verses about the Good Shepherd. Psalms 23. David was inspired to write about how God takes care of us on a daily basis in so many ways. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 3, tell us that the Lord is our shepherd and gives us everything we need. Then it describes everything that a shepherd does to take care of his sheep. Remember in the job description, brethren, we said that the sheep has to keep the sheep moving from pasture to pasture so the grass does not get trampled down or eaten down. And the sheep prefer slow-moving, still, clean water to drink instead of swift-moving water. Verse 3 and 4 tell us that the shepherd takes care of our souls and leads us along the right and safe paths. This is why we should not be scared of evil things. Sheep can be very skittish and be even afraid of their own shadows. If the shepherd does not make themself, a staff is used to guide and draw them back. Verse 5 and 6 tells that he will take care of all our needs, both physical and spiritual, even though we may not see it or feel it at some times. God knows we need to be cared for right now and in the future ahead. Since we are still physically and we have so many needs just like the sheep, we need daily protection. We need food. We need water along with so many other things, don't we? He knows that we desperately need a shepherd. That is why he sent Jesus Christ here to earth to be our shepherd. But how does he protect us today, brethren? How does he do that? How does the Son of God continue to be our shepherd every moment of our life? But our Bible tells us Jesus Christ continues to be our shepherd today, and what we can learn to become shepherds too. Because isn't that to be our destiny, brethren? Isn't that to be our destiny? To graduate from being sheep who need a shepherd to help them every day, become shepherds ourselves, to help, lead others, teach God's way of life. Come with me now to John 10. John 10. Verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. According to many commentaries, this is referring to Jesus. Having put the sheep, the brethren, in the church, in a pen for the night, trying to protect them. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherds access his sheep by the door. In John 10, verse 7, it says that he is the door. By entering through the door, he shows he is the shepherd, the one who cares for his flock and does not come to kill and destroy. In verse 3, it refers to a doorkeeper. This is a servant who opened and closed the door for the shepherd. Brethren, but only the shepherd could call out the sheep. Just as the flock of sheep should know the voice of the shepherd and respond to it, brethren, the people in the church of God should know and recognize the doctrines of the church and the true teachings of God. The phrase, leads them out, refers to the care of a faithful pastor that speaks and leads people out of the world of the church and then provides for the brethren to feed them with the bread of life. What about us, brethren? What about us? Do we recognize God's true words and Jesus Christ for us? And more importantly, do they know us? Do they know you? Before Passover this year, it might be a good time to make sure that we know our shepherd's voice and to search and examine ourselves to make sure that we are ready to partake of the Passover and be recognized by our good shepherd, and eventually, brethren, becoming shepherds also. John 10, verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Brethren, this tells us, as the shepherd walks before his sheep, leading them from pasture to water, and back to the safety of the pen at night, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he went before us to give us a good example as he lived and preached the gospel. But most importantly, brethren, was how he humbly took a beating and died for our sins as a sacrifice for each one of us, brethren. For each one of us. He knows how to lead others, and he is teaching us to follow him. In verse 5, it says that his sheep will not follow a stranger, and neither should we, brethren. We should not be drawn away by false ministry and false doctrine. In verse 6, says they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Let's go to verse 8. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Some translations state here that all who came instead of me or pretended to be me are fake shepherds, and my sheep should not even listen to them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Brother keeps repeating that he is the door. This is so we recognize those who come to God through Jesus Christ can have their sins forgiven and being given eternal life. Brother, none of that is possible without going through Jesus Christ. The phrase, go in and out, in Hebrews refers to all the actions of a man's life, the liberty he has of doing good are not doing good. I'd like to read John 10, verse 10 from the New Living Translation. The first part of this verse is referring to Ezekiel 34. And those who have entered into the priesthood so that they could enjoy the life in the church. And they stole from the people and took advantage of them. John 10, verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Jesus Christ's purpose, brethren, was to lead the flock back to God's doctrines and teachings so that the people might have an abundant life, meaning eternal life. This is why, right here, he keeps saying over and over that he is, that he was the good shepherd. Brethren, this is the main reason that Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd. Because he gave his life for each one of us to be able to have eternal life. In verse 12, it tells us that who is not willing to give up his life for the sheep. Let's drop down to verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this flock. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus said there were other sheep, meaning members, that were following him. Brethren, we've all been selected, and we're going to be trained. We're being trained right now. Right now, brethren, to be a shepherd. Who are going to assist Jesus Christ in shepherding all of those human beings that have ever existed, who are wandering around like lost sheep. They are frightened, they are confused, and they are hungry for God's truth. This will be your job, brethren, to help them. This will be your job. So let's cover three main ways that show us how the shepherd cares for his sheep. And the first one is, the shepherd leads us by his example and uses wisdom. The shepherd leads us by his example and uses wisdom. We've already read in Psalms 23 and John 10 how Jesus Christ is the good shepherd because of the way that he leads us. Come with me now to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 25. For to this, you, brethren, for this to you, brethren, were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you are like a sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. From this scripture tells us we are to be following in Jesus Christ's footsteps and following his examples. Brethren, does God have to get our attention and show us what we should be doing all the time? We should prepare ourselves, just like this plaque right here on the front of this lectern. It says we are to be teachers. We are to be leaders. And yes, shepherds. It's time to get serious, brother. It's no longer a game. Come with me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. This is from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. It says, there is much more we'd like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You're like babes who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have been trained, and have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Well, I don't know about you, but that verse says it all, don't it? We need to be growing, become spiritually mature. We need to recognize this Satan-filled world for what it really is, brethren. And look forward to the world tomorrow with much fervent desire. That's an understatement, isn't it? That is what is going to help each one of us become a good shepherd, a teacher, and a servant. And when it comes to wisdom, which is defined as the ability to apply knowledge to a question or a difficult and make the right decision. We know that we can find godly wisdom in our God's word, brethren. By reading our Bible, we can gain wisdom and make us more stronger in the ways of God. When we need to seek wisdom or guidance, a good place to start is in Proverbs. You don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." God promises to teach us, brethren, to guide us. He does this through his written word, the Bible. Jesus is said to be our wisdom, for in him we gain the true knowledge of God. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But then we can have spiritual and physical wisdom that only God can give if we ask for it. And if we believe that it's God's will and can give it to us through Jesus' name. Proverbs 10, verse 30 says, "Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who has no sense." A good shepherd carries a staff or rod with him, doesn't he? But we know that he will not use it on our backs, brethren, because he loves us and gives us his word. Let's don't forget, brethren, that Jesus Christ was a physical human being. And he felt pain. He suffered a terrible death for all of us. And because of that, he can feel empathy for our pain and our suffering. Number two, the good shepherd has love and empathy for the sheep. A good shepherd has love and empathy for the sheep. Brethren, as a shepherd, you must have that deep, deep love for the sheep. Everyone, brethren, everyone. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? It should give us such peace knowing that God and Jesus Christ loves us. And since Jesus Christ can empathize with us and therefore he wants to protect and take care of us, the fact that God governs all things in the world from creation to all time to come, right there should be a good source of peace and comfort for us, brother. Right there. I like to tell you a true story from God's website about empathy and love, because I think they go together and cannot have one without the other. A farmer had some puppies. He needed to sell. He painted a sign advertising the puppies and was nailing it to the post on the edge of his yard. As he was driving that last nail in the post, he felt a tug on his overalls. He looked down into the eyes of a little boy with dusty jeans and dirty hands. He said, "Hello, mister. I'd like to buy one of your puppies." "Well," said the farmer as he rubbed the sweat off the back of his neck, "those puppies come from very fine parents, and they cost a great deal of money. Do you have any money?" Well, at that, the boy dropped his head for a moment, then reached deep into his pocket. He pulled out a handful of change and held it up to the farmer. "I've got 39 cents. Is that enough to take a look?" "Sure," said the farmer with a forced grin. He was still thinking of all the chores he had to do that day. And with that, he let out a whistle. "Here, Dolly. Here, Dolly." Out from the doghouse and down the ramp ran a beautiful yellow lab, followed by four little balls of yellow fur. The little boy pressed his face against the chain-link fence. His eyes were dancing with delight. As the dogs made their way to the fence, the little boy right then noticed something else stirring inside the doghouse. Slowly, another yellow ball of fur appeared. Only this time, this puppy was a lot smaller than the others. Down the ramp it slid in a clumsy manner. The little pup began hobbling over toward the others, doing its best to catch up. "I want that one. I want that one," the little boy said, pointing to the runt. Well, the farmer knelt down at the boy's side and said, "Son, you don't want that puppy. He will never be able to run and play with you like the other puppies would." Well, with that, the little boy stepped back from the fence, reached down, and began pulling up one of his pants. In doing so, he revealed a steel brace running down both sides of his legs, attaching itself to a special made shoe. Looking back up at the farmer, he said, "You see, sir, I don't run too well myself, and I need someone who understands." While fighting back the tears in his eyes, the farmer reached over the fence, scooped up the little runt, and gave it to the boy. And then he just turned and walked away and went back to his chores. Brethren, this world is full of people who need someone who can feel empathy for them, love them, and try to understand what we are going through every day also. Brethren, this is one of the reasons that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth as a human being, so that he could feel what we go through every day. Both God and Jesus Christ love and care for us very much. That's why they built this earth just for us, brethren. Let's turn and read a set of verses. Tell us how much they love us, and that our lives are more precious to them than any other part of creation. Come with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows." This shows that they care for us very much, brethren. Nothing that happens to us is a mistake. And nothing takes God by surprise. He and Jesus Christ know what is best, and they know what needs to happen in order to lead the sheep home. What happens, brethren? What happens if we do or get lost or mess up and take the wrong path? Jesus Christ is there to help us, isn't he, brethren? We can repent of our sins and be reconciled back to God. Isn't that fantastic? Number three, a shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. A shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. We've been talking about Jesus Christ, how he was the physical good shepherd over God's people and the church. He is still the spiritual leader of this church today. Let's take a few moments and talk about which one of the original shepherds over God's people, and what role will he be given? There are so many shepherds mentioned in the Bible. You might have thought of some as Abel, Abraham, Moses. But who was a shepherd boy first, and then a mighty warrior, and then a servant of God, and then a king? Come with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Read about David, the shepherd boy, who became king of Israel and will be the good shepherd over the kingdom of Israel and Judah. Exodus 34, verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Verse 23 and 24. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he will feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Brethren, why do we think David was such a good shepherd and a king? Well, remember, he was just a shepherd boy. How he protected his flock from the lion and the bear. Because sheep are not able to or willing to protect themselves from predators. They get scared, brethren, very easy, and they run away. David was not afraid to lay down his life to protect his sheep. Because he had that faith that God would protect him. Verse 24. Did we notice that God called David his servant? Even though David became a king, he still remained a servant of God. Brother, can we call ourselves servants of God? Our sheep. Do we come to church each week to obey and serve God and to be fed with the messages? Do we want to help and serve others in a loving way? David had that attitude, brethren, as a servant. And so should we. He had faith in God and was a humble and a repentant servant. If David was willing to lay down his life for his sheep and the children of Israel, how much more? How much more, brethren? Does our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, love us and want to defend us from the predators and the foes? David was a shepherd before he became a king. And Jesus Christ was a shepherd of the people before he was sacrificed as a lamb. Then he was resurrected and rose to the Father, and one day very soon, brethren, he will return as King of Kings, and you better count on it. Jesus Christ gave up his physical life for us, so we have access to God the Father through prayer and obedience. Come with me now to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, to see what we must be willing to do in order to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and be reconciled back to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, therefore purge out thee, O leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Brethren, we should be able to have faith and joy knowing that Jesus Christ gave up his life in order to save his sheep. That is in us today, brethren. Do we have that amount of faith in us today? He wants to be our good shepherd now and the days ahead. He wants us to desire to follow him in good times, bad times, all the time, brethren. We now in Passover, we know we're supposed to be focusing on ourselves and what we need to repent of and change. We need to do these things before we go in and partake of that very serious service. A good shepherd will always be willing to lay down his life for the sheep, even for one sheep that goes astray or becomes a lost sheep. A shepherd must lead his sheep to the green pastures every day, or they will perish. That goes for us, brethren. It goes for each one of us. The pasture can refer to God's word. The scriptures are called both milk and meat. When the sheep are with the good shepherd, he does everything he can to protect the sheep and keep the flock together. And while we're at church each week, brethren, we should be able to feel safe and taking care of our physical shepherd, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Well, brethren, hopefully this helps us prepare for the Passover with a new outlook on everything that Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's going to do for each one of us in the future. I'd like to turn to one more scripture, brethren. Come with me to Isaiah. Isaiah verse 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. So, brethren, what will the role be like with Jesus Christ? It will be like the role of a good shepherd. What should we be doing now to prepare ourselves to rule and help in this very sick world we live in? We should be like the good sheep, following the good shepherd, looking forward to become shepherds ourselves, brethren, be teachers and servants so we can rule with him for eternity. So, are we going to be a sheep wandering around in our home? Or are we going to become part of the flock and someday become a good shepherd also? Well, how does that job offer sound to you now? Are you ready?